Luke chapter 9. We were actually at our last prayer meeting, we were talking, and Chris somehow brought up this idea of the five loaves and two fishes, and that's what we're going to look at today. But isn't that picture wonderful?
Yep.
That was a couple of days before the festival, and Irene took that picture. And, you know, it's kind of like this is where our hope is in the Lord and what he's going to do, isn't it? And no question about it that he did a wonderful thing here yesterday. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 10. It says, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. And then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. I want to stop here, and we're going to take a few minutes just to kind of talk about the festival, and I want to hear from some of you folks too, just kind of a testimony about what happened yesterday. This word apostles, and there were the 12 apostles, right? But in terms of this word apostle, it literally means sent ones, and I think that the fact is that we've all been sent to serve. That doesn't mean we're all apostles, but we absolutely have a message to give, and we're sent to share that message. The word says that they reported. It means to recount or kind of bring back what happened when they were out on the road. So we want to take a few minutes that we have some of our kids in here to share with that. And I just want to start it off by saying to God be the glory. But I have to say, I'm Proverbs says that pride goes before destruction. But I have to say, I am so proud of you people, seriously, of what you did and from the people who are working, hour after hour in the parking lot, like, that's kind of a thankless job. And nobody said thank you out there for doing that. Well, I want to say thank you. Because it was incredible. And then, all the from the barbecue grill and kind of work your way around to the food tent to the kids games and the crafts just go all the way around to the water slides. And if you saw me on the water slide, you were dreaming because I wasn't on the water slide. But just, we had people from different churches, help out, and that was awesome. We hadn't really done that before, and that worked out really well. And the conversations, what impressed me too is just seeing people talking to other people amongst ourselves, but also with the visitors to just talk with them and encourage them in whatever way that might be. That's really what it's all about, I think, just ministering, sharing, taking care of one another. So God did an incredible thing. I'm going to talk about the five loaves and two fish here in a minute. But does anybody have anything they would like to share and add to that? I will come to you. See, I have this microphone that isn't on yet. I think Justin's going to kick it off here.
Hello?
Yeah, I just want to say I really agree with Rich. There's just about everybody jumping in and helping and supporting, being faithful. Those of you who couldn't be here, thank you for your prayers. Every year I kind of like ask myself, do I want to do this festival? And I don't think that's the right question. I think the right question is, does God want to do this festival? Mm-hmm. And over leading up, it was like God was confirmed, like, I want to do this. And it's a privilege to serve. I don't have to be here. Someone else will do it. God's work will move forward with or without me. I don't matter. It's God's work. It's the gospel. It's going to march forward with or without me, with or without you. But the cool thing is, if we agree with God and line ourselves up with him, we get to be a part of something really cool. And we get to see God use us mm-hmm. in ways that I could never imagine. And time and time again, leading up, God was just like, man, you're so stressed out. I got you. Don't worry. I'll do the work. Just follow me. I'll do the work. It's his work. And I was just really blessed, and I was really blessed by like people like my brother-in-law who drove like Friday night at 8 p.m., got at my house at like 6, worked all day like a workhorse, drove home that night to Pennsylvania. So he was 6 hours here, 6 hours back. The best, like, I said, I want to be like you when I grow up. So he's a farmer, so he's knows how to work hard. So just seeing people like that work really hard for the Lord, obviously in his strength, was this huge blessing. And I'm just very grateful for all of you, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Like Rich said, there was just, you know, thank you. You guys are awesome. It's awesome to be a part of a church. My brother-in-law said when he left, he's like, you have an amazing church. I'm so glad I got to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool that he got to be here, and my nephew, too, was here. Mm. Other people in other churches stepped up. You know, I was very worried. You know, I'm not a spring chicken. I don't think so. I'm getting older. We're getting older, so we really needed that help, and people stepped up, and some of us, you know, are in good shape. We've kept ourselves in good shape to serve, and that's awesome. But some of us can't physically do the same thing we used to be able to do. But God brought people. He brought fresh reinforcements for his work because he wanted to do the festival. It's his festival. It's his work. It's not my festival. The work will carry on. So I'm just excited that we got to be a part of that with everybody. It was awesome. And, you know, it's just be praying. What are the things God, you know, a couple weeks, months ago, I talked about up here, the new wine and the new wineskins. You know, and I'm praying, like, what is the thing God wants to do? Maybe he wants to do some other things like the festival and use us to share the gospel, the good news. I don't know. I don't know what those things are. So be praying and praise God. I just want to give him all the glory. He's awesome. And it's a privilege to just go alongside and with our loaves and fishes and see what the Lord does. It's really cool. Right? So, amen. Thank you.
Amen. He didn't have to talk about me like that, you know, that I can't do the things I used to be able to do. Like, who else would like to say something? Norman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So for quite a few years now, I've been in the prayer tent, and every year seems just a little different. Don't ask me why, but every year it's a little different than other years. And this year, it seemed that the theme was a lot of people wanted encouragement. So more so than coming with necessarily a heavy burden or deeply needing prayer and whatnot, even though all that's very important, they seemed to want ask for to be uplifted. They wanted some encouragement. Hmm. So that was, you know, a great feeling to be able to do that. And what made it really special for me was Tommy Vigil stopped by, and we were just chatting. And then he uplifted me because he reminded me that, you know, there's a good number of people that had a close call, but really probably should have passed and been in heaven now. But they're still here for a purpose. They're still here for, you know, a mission. And, you know, just being able to uplift people and have him uplift me, you know, just, again, just made that prayer tent just a little different this year than the other years.
Mm. Amen. Who else? Ryan.
If you were at the festival, helping out, volunteering, just having a good time, you might not have seen me. I was out in the parking lot. I think most of the ways God was able to use me was definitely to help set up, give Justin some extra hands to stage the work in the fellowship all downstairs and get ready to go, but, you know, it's interesting. I rotated out to parking last year, and it was busy, crazy, but, you know, there's that anxiety, you know. Is it going to be, are we going to have the same amount of people? Is it going to be slowly fade out, or how is it? But I think what I saw yesterday is the people who come to this festival were serving, I think, as many people as we can. We never quite ran out of parking, but at our fullest, we got down to about 4 spaces. And just what that means is, you know, it's not that we're popular or breaking records, it's that people are coming, and they're coming for what we're offering. And that gives us as many opportunities as possible to reach out and bless somebody, however that happens while we're at the festival.
Awesome. You know, I went around talking to different people, and one of the things I noticed is that at least 25 to maybe 35% of the people that are there are coming back. They're returning folks. And some of them, a lot of them said, you know, we come here every year. And because they love it, and they just want to come and be with us. So, Jenny, what were you going to say? Who else? Valley?
So, I love the water slide. It's like my favorite thing of the festival.
I love you at the water.
That sounds sarcastic. I used to do it a lot, and last couple years I didn't do it, but this year I did it again with Mark. Thank you, Mark. But, you know, the teacher in me came out. It was the right move to retire. But the teacher in me was coming out, and I realized, you know, I get caught up sometimes in the, don't do that, stop it, get off the rope, you know, like trying to make everything just run smoothly. And a couple times I raised my teacher voice. Steph kind of looked at me like, oh, there it is. But in that, one of the core values of West Bay is relationships matter. So it was a group of kids there that I just kept probably giving that teacher look to. And they kept looking at me, and I'm like, don't you dare. And there was a kid or two in particular, and I kept saying, man, I'm just on this kid, I'm on this kid, I'm on this kid. And I felt bad about it. And I relationships matter. Relationships matter. And there's not enough time to build the relationship in that moment. But at one point, I said, hey, come here a minute. And I said, listen, I've been on you all day, and I don't want to sound like that. I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to just be yelling at you like that. I said, but you gotta be within the rules, and you gotta do stuff. And I said, no, that's okay. I said, what's your name? He said, Jesus. I said, like Jesus, Jesus. I said, yeah, I get it. It's Jesus. So we talked for a few minutes. I asked him what grade he was in, and he was just in fifth grade, and I was a fifth grade teacher. And so we started to have this little chat, and I told Justin, I got a little redemptive story, but it wasn't so much maybe about the people around me. It was more what God was doing in me about relationships matter. And whatever we can do, that's like just the core of who Jesus is. And it just strikes me every time these kids respond. They respond the second you take them, you know, a minute just to talk to them. And I was thankful for that. So I want to keep Jesus in prayer and the other kids that were with him. And I'm just grateful that God reminds us of those things. Mm.
Well, I'm going to speak to both of those things, but, you know, that was our 18th year, so we were a lot younger back then. I say that because were kids there that have been coming. There was a girl there that she started coming when she was 3. She's 15 now. So they've been coming, they've been growing up every year at the festival. Like, they come, they see, they taste, they get, they... But what's happening is what Val was talking about, is this relationship that we have with these kids and with these families that they actually value. I one of the girls came up. I went over to the table where she was sitting, and I'm so happy to see you. And she said, this is my most favorite place. This is the only place I want to be. And somehow she felt like this was a safe place. This was a place, and when she left, she came over to the tent and to say goodbye to me. And she's only 15, but like, obviously, the back and forth, when that little girl started coming, she was 3 years old, she had so much attitude, and we were laughing about it, and she said, I did have a lot of attitude back then, but my attitude's better now. I'm growing up, my attitude's better now. But she came over and said goodbye to me, and she said, I'll see you next year. She wants it next year, but it was just that, you know, idea of that we take these opportunities that we have, even if it's once a year, to speak into their lives and to care for them, because really, literally, we are caring for them because we're asking about their lives, and they're telling us about their lives and their how they've been growing up and what's been going on. And they love that we recognize them and acknowledge them. They love that. You just see their eyes light up. Sandy Heilman was sitting there, and she basically, her job was just to pass out the tickets, but every kid that came up, she asked them their name. And that they loved telling her their name, and she would ask them where they were from, and she was asked, you know, just conversation with every single person who was getting a ticket. I mean, they might have been thinking, just give me my ticket. But she was, it was a beginning, it was establishing of things with them, and they would run back over, and, you know, it just was a very friendly feel. And so the other thing was, you know, Val was speaking about to relationships, and what I discovered this year was, it was kind of a funny thing, because people who used to be in this church years and years and years and years ago were coming to the festival, visiting, wanting to catch up, wanting to reconnect, wanting to, and just hanging around us, like little, just hanging around, hanging, staying close, wanting, you know, just to be able to connect. So it was just seeing that, like Val was talking about, relationships matter, and making connections. And so it's more than just this one day that we kill ourselves over. There's weeks that go into it prior to. We're already dead when we get there, but it's worth every minute of it. It's worth every minute of it, and I think that's the blessing of it, because it's our day just to touch lives.
So I was the MC of the halftime show. And you got to fill a little bit of time, so I get up there, I yell out to the kids, how you doing, enjoying the water slide, all of that. I think I asked, what's your favorite part? And, you know, they yell out to me. And then this little girl comes up, and says, I have to tell you something. And so that's not really the time for me to... So I just said, you know what, when we're done, you can tell me. And so we kept going, and then I think I had to stall time while Justin was switching roles again. So again, I kind of killing time. And she comes up again and says, I have to tell you. And I say, okay, when we're done, you can tell me. And so he does his thing. And then I come up and I say, okay, we're going to do the sack race. And she comes up again and says, I have to tell you. And I say, okay, after the sack race, you absolutely can tell me something. And so we do the sack race. And then I specifically went over to her after the sack race and said, you had something that you wanted to tell me. And all she wanted to do was tell me that she comes every year and she loves it. That's all she wanted to tell me. But it was just, she so much wanted to tell me that. And I think that's just the connection that we have with these kids. We see them once a year. I feel bad, I don't remember her name. But she remembers us, and she comes, and she so much loves being there and the atmosphere that we developed, that she wanted really badly to tell me how much she enjoys and comes every year. So that's the connection we make. You may not feel like you're making a connection, but you absolutely are, and they have it inside and want to bring it out. So pray for that little girl. She had a ball yesterday. I saw her on the games too, so she was, it was just a blessing that that is what she wanted to tell. All she wanted to tell me was how much she comes every year and loves it. So that's what we do. So that's why we have to have it next year, so that she can come up and tell me how much she loves coming.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna get to the word now. I know probably more of you have stuff to share, but I don't want to keep you here till 2 o'clock. So let's get back to our study in chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke. Really, this really ties in with what we're talking about today. The whole thing of the festival. You know, why do we, you know, why are we going to do this? Because we're just incredible people or whatever? No, because we just offer ourselves. And what do we really have to give? Not much, honestly. Account of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, besides the resurrection, this is the only miracle that's found in all 4 Gospels. I think that's important. That's interesting, isn't it? There's something about what happens here, you see, that God does this incredible thing. In the early Christians, they used this theme for, you know, in the catacombs, you know, they did, the artwork was the pictures of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. There's something about this. So let's pick it back up where we left off there in chapter 9, verse 10. In the middle of verse 10, after that they had reported, it says, he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. So they had this plan. They were going to have a retreat, right? And that's a great plan. They were going to go aside, and Jesus, you know, because they were tired, and they'd done all this stuff, so we're going to have this retreat. But look what happens here in verse 11. It says that, but the crowds learned about it, and they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. So the plans that they had didn't really work out, did they? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, you got this plan. I'm going to have this vacation. I'm going to do all this great stuff and all these wonderful things. And then something happens and your plans just get derailed. And Jesus said, you know what? You people leave us alone. We're going on a retreat. Is that what happened? No, it says that he welcomed them. Literally, that word, I like looking up these words, right? And you know where I look them up. I don't have to tell you that over and over, but It literally means he took them by the hand. He welcomed them. He took them by the hand. And isn't that true? The Lord Jesus was always accessible. He was never too busy. He welcomed them. He took them by the hand. And he's like that for you and for me too. He's never too busy to hear from you. He's never too busy to listen to our voices. The second thing it says here in that verse is that he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And this, the kingdom of God, he wanted them to know that there is a kingdom and God is king. And this is a place where we surrender. Pastor Chuck said this, Jesus proclaiming to man that there is a kingdom where God wants men to live. A kingdom of light and life marked by righteousness, joy, peace, and love. When a person submits himself to God as the king of his life. Jesus is talking to these people, right? They're coming to him by the thousands, as we'll see. And he was talking to them about the kingdom of God. As Pastor Chuck said, where a person submits himself or herself to God as the king of his or her life. Have you done that? Have I done that truly? Where I say, God, you are the king of my life. That's really what Jesus was trying to, you know, impress upon them, to talk to them about. And the third thing, it says that he healed them. Now, you know, the first thing is he welcomed them. The second thing is he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And the third thing was he healed those who needed healing. Does Jesus still heal today? Absolutely. There are lots of different kinds of healings, though, aren't there? And you and I, you know, whether we're willing to admit it or not, we need healing in lots of different ways. And some of it is deep, the spiritual parts of us, the very, you know, the heart of hearts that we have where we need Jesus to come and heal us because we're messed up. Well, I'm messed up. I'm not going to speak for you. But the truth is, I know. We're all messed up. We need to be healed. And Jesus is willing. He's accessible. He'll take you and me by the hand. He'll talk to us about, you know, who's the king in my life? And you know, the truth of the matter is that we want to be the king. Who's on the throne of your life? Me. How's that working out for you? Not so good. God is king. God wants to be the king. This is just the introduction, by the way. Verse 12 says, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here. Don't you just love this? The disciples giving advice to Jesus, right? I thought we were talking about the kingdom of God, where God is king, and we don't give him advice, but we do that sometimes. Jesus, this is what I really think you should do. These knuckleheads giving Jesus advice, like, no, Jesus, what do you want to do? What do you want us to do? And he goes on to tell them. I mean, it was a legitimate concern, right? That there's a lot of people. Where are they going to stay? What are they going to eat? You know, give them a free hot dog and a burger, popcorn, snow cone. You know, just give them sound. Now that sounds familiar. Anyways, what was Jesus' response? He said, you guys, thank you for helping me out. Send them away. Is that what Jesus did? No, of course not. Jesus, you know, he had a different plan. Look at verse 13. What does he say? He says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And they answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. He said, you give them something to eat. Kind of like what Justin was talking about, like, well, what are we going to do? And Jesus says, you just do something, show up, you give them something to eat. First of all, Jesus cared about them. He cared about their spiritual needs, and he cared about their physical needs, absolutely. But it was humanly impossible to feed that many people. One of the other Gospels tells us there was a young boy, a little boy, who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And he said, this is what I got. But it was humanly impossible to take what they had and to meet the need of all those people. Truthfully, you and I, what can we do to take care of the hundreds of people that showed up yesterday? What do we have? What do you have? What do I have? We don't have anything to give. But when we offer the little bit that we do have, and this is a lesson for life. This isn't just for festival life. This is for all of life. That we come and we offer, and Jesus says, I want to use you. Well, you know, send somebody else. Let someone else do it. And Jesus says, no, but I want to use you. I want to use you to talk to somebody, to listen to somebody, to hear what's going on in their life, to know what's happening. you know, I had conversations with a bunch of different people, you know, but just to stop and listen. I could be very distracted by there's a lot going on around, but to focus in and to hear, just to listen to that. And when they feel like they've been heard, something happens. I saw it. I witnessed it. People begin to open up. Somebody said to me, though, yesterday, and I meant to say this earlier, is that they said, you know what? And they weren't from here. They weren't from... We had people from Connecticut, by the way, from New Hampshire, from Pennsylvania. Justin's his brother-in-law. And he's... That guy's an animal, let me tell you what. He is a farmer, but he's an animal. Because that guy, you couldn't stop him. And the truth of the story was... Justin said he left at 8 o'clock and he got here at 6. He actually got to our house because I asked him when I saw him, when did you get here? He said, I got here at 2 a.m. and he slept the rest of the night in his car with his son. Like, how? And he ever slept in the car? It doesn't really, it's not really that restful. And then he worked like I said, like an animal, and just you could not stop this guy. It was just incredible to see that kind of thing happening. Anyways, what was I saying? I've got lost here. God wants to use you and me. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't have a lot, and I've known this from day one, from coming out here, like, oh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. No, I just felt like God wanted us to come to New England and see what would happen. And we didn't have anything to offer, but we just were willing to be available. And it's true in your life and my life. Just be available and say, God, what do you want me to do? What can I do? What can I do in the church? What can I do at where I work? And is there anything I can do? Can I speak to somebody? Can I listen to somebody? Verse 14, it goes on to say here that there were about 5,000 men that were there. So 5,000 men plus women and children, it could have easily been 10,000, 20,000 people. We don't know how many they were actually there, but that's a lot of people, right? Yeah. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. So if there was 10,000 people, how many groups of 50 is that?
A lot.
She failed in math, okay? Then... do them half.
200.
Groups of 50? 10,000? 200 groups, right. That's a lot of groups of people, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to picture that. And 200 groups of people, 50 groups of 50, that's like scattered. I mean, this is a huge undertaking here, and they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Again, what God would ask them to do, what sometimes God asks us to do, is completely humanly, totally impossible, completely out of reach. And yet God says, have them sit down. This is something that we're going to do. Verse 16, he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looks up to heaven, and he gave thanks, and he broke them. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. What a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? That he takes these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what does he do? He doesn't do any kind of weird things. He just looks up to heaven. And that's what you and I need to do as well. We take that little bit that we have and we look up to heaven. We look to God and ask him, you know, what do you want to do with me in my life? Sometimes we're looking in mirrors, right? That's what we like to do. We're looking in the mirror to see what we see, and we go, oh, Or if we're kind of proud, we go, ooh. But we need to look up to heaven. That's where the answers are. That's where the help is, right? And then it says that he gave thanks. I read an interesting story about this, that Jesus wasn't blessing the food. And sometimes, you know, we pray before our meal and we pray that God would bless the food. But Jesus wasn't blessing the food. He was blessing God, who supplied and was going to supply the food for all these people. I think when we pray too, we don't just say, God, bless this mess. No, we say, God, thank you for providing this food that I have to actually eat now in front of me. And then he broke them. That's that word there, I think it kind of sums it up. He broke them into pieces. And when he did the breaking, there was multiplying that took place. And there was ability to share. There was this ability to help others. Sometimes we got to be broken. That's not very nice. That doesn't feel good, though, does it? But some of the best things in the Christian life come out of when we're broken by Jesus. We got to be willing to say, Lord, if you need to break me, then break me. And then see what he wants to do with my life, with your life. Broken to multiply, broken to share, broken to help others. And then it says there that he gave them back to his disciples, you know, to set before the people. So he said, you give them something to eat. They gave to Jesus what they had. He looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and then he gave it back to them. So they were supposed to be involved in it. There's a verse about that. Lord, send someone else. Let someone else do it, but he wants to use you. You're the one at that job who has to deal with that person. I remember there was a boss that I had in Connecticut, and I went to him, and you know, we were doing the church here, and I went to him and I said, can I work part-time? And he said, no, we don't do that here. And you know what? I got, not in front of him, but I got really angry. And I was just, you know, like, who does that guy think he is? And you know what? What good am I going to do now to this guy? Well, you know what? God convicted me, and I began to pray for him. I had anger. I had, you know, just bitterness and all that. But God convicted me. I needed to pray for that person. I began to pray for him and pray for him. And guess who changed? Me. And it was like lifted up off me as I was praying for him. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, though, is that God said, I just want you to quit. I didn't hear a voice or anything, but that's really what it came out to be. I want you just to quit. So I quit. And guess what happened? They contacted me and said, can you work part-time for us? We'd like you to work part-time for us. And they paid me more money than I was making before.
God's grace.
God can do it. Wherever you are, you know, you don't have the resources. I don't have the resources. But God did something through the hands of these disciples, didn't he? He worked through them. And God wanted to use them, and he wants to use you and me. What are these pictures of here?
Servers.
Waiters. Someone said this, and I was reading a different commentaries. One of them said, waiters for Jesus. Waiters for Jesus. You know, they just had a tiny bit. They didn't have much, but when Jesus, you know, he did his incredible work, and then he gave it back to them so that they could serve, so that they could pass out what he did. And that's, I thought, what a cool picture that is. You know, well, you and I don't have anything to give, but we can be waiters for Jesus and serve people and help meet their needs. And who knows what God wants to do? You and I don't have the resources. The waiter in the restaurant that you go to or have been to in the past, it wasn't their food that they brought out. But they brought it out and served you, right? And some are good and some are bad, right? Have you ever had a bad waiter? Here you go. And then you've had a nice one said, here you go. Thank you for coming. I mean, is there anything else I can get for you? What else can I do for you? And you want to go back to that place, right? I remember now what I was going to say before. This young man from New Hampshire said to me, what is going on here is just incredible. He said, you know what? You know what I feel here? I feel love and affection from you people. Love and affection. That makes you want to go back. That's why people are coming back, because they sense love and affection. And when we love people, now maybe we don't want to, like I didn't really want to love that boss, but as you pray, even the people you don't want to love, you pray and ask God to give you that love. It's His love anyways, right? Incredible things can happen. Verse 17, last verse in our study, it says, they all ate and they were satisfied. Literally filled, they were gorged. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. 12 basketfuls. And some think that perhaps it was so that each of them had a little basket to take care of his needs. In other words, you serve other people, you help bless other people, well then you get blessed and taken care of as well, right? That makes sense? So, to kind of sum this thing up, I've got a few things to say. That God takes what you and I have and He breaks it and He multiplies it. David Guzik said this, what we have in ourselves to give others is insignificant. But when we put it in Jesus' hands, He can do great things with our gifts and talents to touch the lives of others. He can do great things with our gifts and talents to touch the lives of others. But we have to put it in His hands. You and I have to go to Him and give Him our lives. Let Him be the King of our lives. Warren Wiersbe said this, that Jesus taught the 12 an important lesson. No situation is impossible if you take what you have, give it to God with thanksgiving, and then share it with others. No situation is impossible. And finishing with scripture, Jehovah Jireh literally means the Lord will provide. God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. He's going to do it. Philippians 4. He's going to meet all your needs. But He also wants to use you and me to minister to other people in this very hurting and dark world. Give Him a chance. Let Him do it. Be a waiter. Be a server for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we do give You glory. We give You honor. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Thank You for the fact that You want to use us. Lord, we're shy, maybe we're hesitant, we're just a fearful, we don't want to speak up, we don't want to do anything, but Lord, I pray that You would mobilize each one of us to be a server, a waiter, someone who is available to minister to the people that we are in contact with each and every day. This isn't just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Use us, Lord, I pray. Show us, give us eyes to see those opportunities that are right there in front of us. To let others know about the kingdom of God, where you are king. Lord, I pray here today for any and maybe any that are listening, watching online, that we need to submit and surrender to you as the king of our lives. There's no two ways about it. And so maybe some have never done that. Today is a good day to say, dear God, I believe in your son Jesus, and I ask you to be my king. I surrender, I submit to you today, right here, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?